This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:18 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run with Xiaoning and Shazana. In half an hour, we are going to discuss a proposal to make general elections more predictable and less like a lottery. But in the meantime, we turn our attention to shopping malls. The government plans to review the management of shopping malls that are owned by government-linked companies or GLCs to ensure that they're managed by local companies. This is on the premise that Bumiputra traders can run their businesses there and hence raise their social economic status and their involvement in the formal sector.
But what we do know is that the retail industry is one of the most dynamic and competitive businesses. So the question is, could this quota do more harm than good? Because from past experiences of setting up Bumiputra-only digital malls, like what we saw with Mara Digital Mall, to compete against the likes of Lau Yat Plaza, these outlets in Pahang, Johor and Selangor have actually shut down after battling poor earnings and low footfall traffic.
So for some thoughts on this policy and what actually needs to be in place for it to be effective in the way that it's aimed, we speak to Ahmad Yazid Othman, CEO of the Malay Economic Action Council, better known by the Malay acronym MTEM. Good morning, Yazid. Thanks very much for joining us today. Could we start with getting a big picture look in terms of the involvement of the Bumiputra community in running businesses and shopping malls? What do we know about the data that's available?
Well, generally, from what we understand, predominantly most shopping malls does not have a lot of Bumiputra presence, except for a few state-based, local-based malls. And their number are very small, but we have to acknowledge there are a few brands that have been quite popular in all shopping complexes and shopping malls, such as Serai, Habib, Manate, and Maidin to a certain extent. So I think the numbers are pretty small. So in our view, any attempt for the government trying to balance it out, give you more opportunities for Bumiputra who have the exposure, talent and potential, more opportunities, I think it should be welcome as part of a way to promote and support potentially more growing brands that would have been able to compete, but just need a little bit of kickstart.
So what do you mean by the kickstart? What kind of assistance are we talking about? Like, ensuring that these Bumiputra businesses are given the space in the mall at a subsidized rental, you know, how, what are the mechanics of this, do you think?
Well, the issue is this. As much as people say that Bumiputra have a lot of their leeway, the fact of the matter is Bumiputra entrepreneurs does not have a level playing field because of certain failures of the past. But now it's different. A lot of Bumi businesses cater for all races. Some are successful and able to compete. So we just, I'll give you an example. A property owned by Bumiputra, Bumi PHNB, if not mistaken, was leased out, in Kuala Terengganu, was leased out 100% to SOGO. They didn't figure out how to ensure more participation from Bumiputra players. So this is the issue, that there is not real focus trying to develop the right brands and retailers that would actually add value to not only just an opportunity for the retailers, but also for the consumers, options for local players, rather than trying to find the easy way out and giving it all to not just local, but international brands, and then deprioritizing our support for the local SME.
But there are arguments, Yazid, that, I mean, getting the government to intervene in what should arguably be handled by market forces, isn't that a negative thing? Wouldn't that promote issues like cronyism or something of that sort? And wouldn't it also maybe put more burden on the government to spend on subsidies, for example?
Well, yes and no. I mean, for now, we know there's the market is, you know, quite competitive. Many spaces are available due to closure, many businesses. So perhaps this gives us an opportunity, you know, to give some of these places to Bumiputra who has been trying to access these areas. And if they fail, then they'll have to leave. So I'll give you an example. You look at Bangkok. Airport is full of local entrepreneurs. Our airport full of MNC companies. So that mindset is also predominantly here within the local ecosystem, whereby there is this intention to actually focus on the bigger, stronger brands rather than give local entrepreneurs, be it Bumiputra or non-Bumiputra, more opportunities. So I think we need to see it from that perspective. That and then, in fact, the government mentioned it only for GLC owned. So it is their social responsibility, trying to give a little bit more opportunity for the entrepreneurs that, in their view, would have been able to compete if they were given a slight support in the beginning.
Okay, I do want to focus on two points. One of which is that when you mentioned the Bangkok airport and the entrepreneurs there, I think, you know, you talk of some of the brands there. They, although they are local brands, they're quite recognized and they're decent size. So I wonder whether in the first place we are talking about, you know, growing these local brands to have a sizable market share, and then, you know, putting them in the malls. That's one way, you know, creating a gestation place for them rather than expecting them to go straight into a huge mall. Should that be what we are looking at? And the second question I have, but I'll come back to that, is GLCs also are profit driven, right? So they need to do what's good for their business. So is there a conflict then?
The first one, I agree. Any attempts or measures to actually support the local growth of the local SME, Bumiputra should be supported. And we are not talking about brands from the Pasar Malam trying to enter the malls. That would be silly, of course,
yes,
because the malls have a different target profile, different consumer profile, and different places. You know, a mall in Kuala Terengganu vis-a-vis Kuantan and Kuala Lumpur would have different kind of consumer profile. So that market forces would, you know, would sort things out naturally, of course. So that basically is number one. Number two, the second one was what again?
Where, you know, GLCs themselves are profit-driven, right? They have shareholders, they have different stakeholders. It's also in their interest to ensure that whatever tenants they have in their mall do the best. So is there a conflict of interest there? Or, you know, then, you know, what's the priority?
I think that's the whole idea of a balance. The objective is just trying to get dividends, outsource everything, outsource to the highest bidder. Forget about local growth, forget about supporting locals, be Bumiputra or not. So I think for the government to have the intention, it should not be seen as a negative by how they do it. For example, just because Mara Digital Mall failed, and because Mara Digital Mall failed, because predominantly it shows that you can't have a government or GLC trying to start a shopping mall targeted for a certain group profile of customers, whereby all of the products are not really done and developed by that particular profile of same people. So of course it's going to have a problem, so you won't succeed because you would have to give competent people who has the strategy, who knows what to spend in order to attract, you know. So it becomes a situation whereby we're just using the situation to promote some Bumiputra rhetorics that doesn't have a real impact to the community. So we're looking at trying to figure out how to help that matters, and do not need to actually use the Mara Digital mistake as a reference and not to support any local players. Because, for example, we know for a fact there are a few local brands in malls, but then they are not given we call it leeway in the face of COVID. They had to leave to be replaced by a bigger brand with more capital, with more capital. Because the GLC or the malls were trying to make a higher profit rather than trying to support locals. So I think there has to be a balance between ensuring there's dividends and also there's a national agenda supporting local entrepreneurs.
All right, Yazid. And looking ahead to the months down the line, we know that Budget 2023 is going to be tabled at the end of October. At this stage, what do you think what would you want to see in the budget that you think will help the Bumiputra entrepreneur community?
Well, we are, in spite of the open economy activities, most businesses are hard-pressed by higher operating costs, while the consumption of the people are also not increasing due to, you know, inflation, higher interest rate, and so on and so forth. So I think immediately what we need to do is we need the government to spend, not focus on austerity drive, spend more, how to ensure that we can create more jobs, we can create more employment. We can have projects that would actually put food to the table. I would welcome more opportunities that would focus on helping employees, SMEs, actually employ more people by having a form of wage subsidies that was quite predominant during the pandemic time. I would also look forward to more cash transfer, because in the immediate run, most of our problems are not cannot be solved, you know, using Band-Aids. There are structural issues. So in the immediate term, a strategic cash transfer is important. Therefore, smart ways to tax who should be those who deserve to be taxed must be in place, so that we could have more ability to do most impactful tax and transfer programs, be giving back to the community based on their needs rather than based on what the market wants them to suffer.
Okay. All right, Yazid, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Ahmad Yazid Othman, CEO of the Malay Economic Action Council, also known as MTEM, talking to us about the policy that's being proposed or that's looking to be implemented, letting JLC malls give more tenancies to Bumiputra entrepreneurs. 7:29 in the morning. We're heading into the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. We'll be coming back after that with the discussion on the second half outlook of the global economy. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.